We're starting a new series, the Gospel of Mark will be our summer series, and we've titled it Discovering Christ. And in order, I want to give a preface kind of today to the Gospel and to the Gospels in general. Mark is considered by many to be the most important of the Gospels because it was written by a guy named John Mark, who was Peter's secretary, and most of the information he gives is pretty much from the mouth of Peter the Apostle. And the Gospels of Matthew and Luke have their foundation in the Gospel of Mark. So it's a very important Gospel, and it also gives us the identity of who Christ is. And we'll be seeing Him in three aspects. He's our Savior, He's our servant, and He's our King. But probably the biggest thing you need to get today is to understand that Jesus is a King. He is in charge of a government. And that's what we're going to be talking about today before we actually get in full bore into the Gospel. So in order to understand the Gospels, the good news, the word Gospel, for those of us that don't know, simply means it's good news. It's good news. So in order to understand this good news better, I want to begin by giving you the big picture of what God intended for the earth and its citizens, the citizens of this planet. So in order to do that, we need to open up with a question, actually a couple questions. And the first question is this: what did God really want to accomplish when He created countless solar systems, when He created this creation, when He created the millions of planets and the billions of stars? What was He thinking when He made one of those solar systems with nine planets until a couple of years ago when they now make them eight? What was His intent when He chose the third planet from this little solar system and put life on it around the sun, three planets deep? What was He thinking? What was He thinking when He took some dirt from this planet and fashioned that dirt into an image of Himself, creating a being called a human being or a man? What was He thinking, and what was His intent? And then let's bring it down to the individual level of what is the point of you living, of you being a human being. Are we just born to make a living, to reproduce ourselves, and eventually die? You know, I did a funeral yesterday, or a memorial actually, but for a young lady that 46 years old, passed away, and a couple of years ago, within a couple months of my son's passing, her son had passed from a drug overdose. And so now the other two siblings are minus a mom and minus a brother. And they're devastated. Mom was sick and she unexpectedly died. And everyone in the family is in recovery at some level. And I shared with them the same thing I'm sharing with you right now, is one of the issues that drove many of us into the world of substance abuse and the world of any type of abuse is we don't get life. Is that all there is? I remember asking myself many times when I was growing up, is this all there is to life? Is this what it's all about? We work, maybe have kids, then we die. And usually it's sickness and gnarly, and it's just, you know, is this what it is? Well, then I may as well get high. What's the point? And see, the truth is this: unless we understand the big picture of God, the big puzzle, we will never figure out what our little piece in the puzzle is. So oftentimes if you're Christian, in your Christian upbringing, you're taught a bunch of do's and don'ts, and you're given a picture of, kind of a picture of what God's all about, but we don't understand the bigness and what is he really doing? Because when we get to understand that, everything else begins to make sense. When we don't understand that, it's like, well, what is every man for himself? And then we're gone? What's the point? So, I want you to understand this aspect about God. that God created this visible universe as a parallel to an invisible universe called the heavenlies. And that this invisible universe is governed by a king who has a government called a kingdom, a geographic area under his authority. And he created this visible world as an expansion of his kingdom. Now you need to understand something. Governments have three things that make them powerful, that make them sovereign, that make them their own country. They have territory. Even you on the individual level, if you're a person here, you want to have some territory. You want to own a home. If you have the money, you want to own a number of homes. You want territory. It is designed in us. You look at every government around, every war is about getting more territory. Then there's something else that all governments crave. Wealth. They want wealth. They want resources. Don't kid yourself. We're involved in the Middle East because they have resources. Well, there's a spiritual thing going on. But in the natural, everybody's involved over there because there's tremendous resource. And people want it. And a country's power comes from their landmass and their wealth, their resources. But they also have one other thing they need. Citizens. They need people. And so whenever a country invades another country, they want to subject that country. First, they want the territory. They want the resources. And they want the people. They might want to eliminate some people. But they want that. Those three aspects, every government in the world wants to have. We are considered a superpower. In fact, Russia the other day called us the only superpower. Why? We have the most wealth. We have tremendous power and resources. We have strong citizenry, which is being diluted. And we have a great, great landmass. And everybody wants it. Now, this is born and birthed into man by God because he operates the same way. He is a king that established a kingdom which we would call heaven, but it's invisible. Then he created the natural, and even scientists today say, hey, you know what? This natural world, all the solar systems, is expanding. You know that when we leave this planet and God fixes everything and reclaims all the territory that is his, that his business, his kingdom will be forever expanding? He will be creating more and more. When we go and leave here as God's kids, we're not just going to a stagnant place, we're going to a dynamic place. And then when he creates the new earth and the new heavens, and they come back together, as it tells us in Revelation 21, at the end of this story, we will be forever seeing the expansion and glory of God. You need to understand that God is on a mission. Now, let me explain this to you. A couple weeks ago, I was in St. Martin, and thank you. It was awesome. And my wife thanks you. It was beautiful. But half of that island is owned by the French. And the other half is owned by the Dutch, Holland. This island is 4,300 miles away, minimum, from the country that claims ownership over it. That little island is 95% African. But it's very interesting that on the French side, they all know French history. They all speak French. They are governed by French law. They are owned by the French, and everything about them is French. The other half is owned by Holland, and everything about that half is Holland, is the Dutch. They got daffodils and stuff. There's no daffodils growing in there. But see, the mother country has them. The laws, the pay scale, everything is from their foreign or homeland, even though they are at great distance. Let's take that down to the big picture of what God did. God established a colony. Just like St. Martin is a colony of France, operates under the government of France. So you need to understand, you and I have no real idea what a king is like. Oh, we may watch Game of Thrones or some of those shows that have kings in it and queen, but we have never lived on it. The closest we have is monarchy in England. But the queen has no power. Here's a couple things about a king. A king has absolute sovereign power. A king makes up the rules. They're his rules. Nobody votes in a king. A kingdom is passed from the king to his lineage. When the king dies, it goes to the son or one of the progeny. There are no democracies. There are no nothing like that. Also, in a kingdom, all the property is owned by the king. He can come and take anybody's property at any time because the kingdom is his. That's why in Scripture, we belong to a king. His rules are sovereign. He doesn't ask us to debate them. He owns everything. That's why Scripture tells us we're merely stewards of the kingdom. We have the great advantage to be the king's kids. So when we go before the king, we don't only go before as subjects of the kingdom, we go as children, heirs of his kingdom. We belong to this. You need to understand that there is a king who established a colony called Earth, made people in his image to belong to him, and gave them dominion over that, to be ruled like he rules in the heavenlies that we don't see. You know, 75 times in the New Testament, the word kingdom of God is used. And I believe over 40 times the kingdom of heaven is used. What's the difference? Kingdom of God simply names who's the king. Kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven is the territory he exercises his dominion from. And this natural world is part of that kingdom. But there is a war going on. I'm going to jump to Matthew 26. We're going to start a little bit different today with you guys. Matthew 26, 12, I'm sorry, 12:26. Jesus was one time accused of healing people out of the power of Satan. And Jesus looked at these guys and said, "You don't understand how kingdoms work." He said this to them, "If Satan drives out Satan," in other words, if one of Satan's minions pushes the king out, that kingdom will fall because the king has been removed, he says. He says, "How then can his kingdom stand?" So here's what happened. The kingdom of God, which is in the invisible, that's why we can't fight it in the natural. There is a rebel kingdom that attacked the colony of Earth. Just like if St. Martin was invaded by a foreign country, their homeland, 4,300 miles away, would send armies to deal with that. Why? Because it is their property. It is their territory. It is their citizens. It is their wealth. And they will defend that. So when God designed the earth, He designed human beings as His ambassadors. That's why we're called ambassadors. Why? We're taking greater territory. See, our job is to increase the kingdom of God. We get confused sometimes and think we're increasing our little kingdom. When I started the church and wanted to do, and it's common us because it's in us to increase. And if we can't, then that's where we want to decrease ourselves. And the enemy plays on that. Because the scripture says not only does he have a kingdom, the government of his kingdom, what he perpetrates on this land that belongs to the kingdom of God, he perpetrates death. He came to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Destroy the citizenship, steal their stuff, take over the territory. The whole Old Testament is about prophets singing out that the Messiah, the one anointed by the king, that's one of the reasons Jesus is called Son of God. Why? He's in the lineage of the king. He was sent here in the lineage to rule. Why? Scripture tells us over and over again, he's the king. He is the king. And he was coming to return his subjects that were bound by what? Sin and death. Why? Because that's the government of the rebel. In Ephesians, he says, we march according to this spirit that operates in the heavenlies and is the king of that kingdom, little k, who's trying to usurp what God has, who's put the people in bondage. In fact, it's called the kingdom of darkness. You know, the word darkness in the Hebrew, and I don't know, I'm no Hebrew scholar, but I look up stuff. The word darkness, the same Hebrew word that says darkness also says ignorance. His kingdom strength is built on the ignorance of people. He attacked Adam and Eve. See, that's why the battle, you guys, is in the mind. He plays on that. I was talking to someone recently and asking him, you know, because we think, see, this is part of our rebellious, and we think we know a lot. I was asking this person, out of all the knowledge that is possible. Out of all the knowledge that is possible, how much knowledge do you think you have of that? How much do you think you know? 3%? A sliver of 1%? Because we tend to think we know a lot. And the devil plays on that. I mean, so we want to follow God, but gosh, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, because you don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. The enemy perpetrates his kingdom by playing on ignorance, which is what? It darkens us. We don't understand. We don't see. We don't even think it's valuable. So God established this colony out of all his solar systems. I don't know what he's got going on over there. People go, you know, you think God's got life on other planets? Whatever God wants to do, he does. He's a king. What are you asking me for? I can't even run my household. I got a little tiny bit of territory called Joe, and he's a problem. He's always in rebellion. Right? Because see, you got little substitute kingdoms in you. Any area you're fighting God in, that's a substitute little kingdom. It can be called a stronghold. It's a substitute little kingdom. So we have a king that saw his colony invaded by forces. And the colony, and this king of this rebel kingdom set up his kingdom. And is ruling the people heartlessly. Violence and death and destruction. And stealing from them their hope and their fear. See, this is what he steals from us. Our hope, our future, what we belong to, who we were made to be. That's what he steals from. Your identity. And you can see it spiraling through the generation that his destruction is taking greater effect. You can see it in our generation. We're not sure what bathrooms to use. We don't even know who we are. And it's not a put down, it's just a reality. That to me, it's a sign of our brokenness going to new levels. We are so lost in this darkness. And in this kingdom that the enemy... That's why he says the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this natural world. I cannot compete, I cannot conquer a demonic force with a natural weapon. It's a supernatural. And so we'll see this, how God, Jesus in these Gospels, exercises His power over everything. Why? Because He's a king. He is sovereign. And He will get it all together at one time. So what has He done? He's invaded this colony to take it back. It tells us, I want to go to 1 Timothy 1:17. See, Paul understood this when he was writing to Timothy. He writes him this in verse 17. He says, "Now to the King eternal." See, a kingship lasts as long as the king is alive and it gets passed down, but this king's eternal. That means he lasts for eternity. That, and he's immortal. He can't die. He will never lose his kingship. And he's invisible. So his realm that he operates in, we cannot see. Someday we will. Someday we will. When we leave this planet, we will see his kingdom in the invisible realm, because we ourselves will become invisible. But that's not the end of it, because we get our bodies back. We were designed to have them. Like I said, in Revelation 21, it says the new heaven or the new Jerusalem. That's simply territory, which would be heavenly, coming down, connecting again with the earth. And he says, God will be with us and he will walk with us. We will be fully connected to the realms we were designed to live in, but especially live in the colony we have. I don't know if God will take us and we'll be able to fly and go see the expansion that he's doing throughout the universes and all the other things he's got going and all this, because his kingdom's ever expanding. That's a mind blower. What's even a more than a mind blower there is that I'm one of his kids. I get to, you know, my grandsons, they're out for the next 6 weeks, and, you know, I didn't do it last night, but every night they want me to lay in bed with them, and they fight on which side they're going to be, you know, before we have to do the rituals. And then finally we settle down and they want me to tell them stories. Well, you know, I can't even think of any more makeup stories. I can only tell them so many about my past. It's like, you know, but you know what I think of? I think of me sitting down with Jesus by a fire and him telling me stories about stuff, and me being able to comprehend that and hanging out with my loved ones and all that. It's like, this is awesome. You guys, you have no idea what we're in for. I have no idea. I'm trying to express it the best way I can, which is fumbling and bumbling and stumbling along. But I'm telling you, it's good. In fact, Paul, who is far better writer and speaker than me, he says, we can't even imagine it. Your best imagination of how awesome it is? Nah, nothing. Tiny. He says, now that his king, immortal, eternal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Well, what is a king's honor? He said, be honor to this guy. Well, he's one of a kind. God is one of a kind. Every other creature, it seems like everything that God has ever made has kinds. God himself, one of a kind. That's pretty honorable. That's amazing. And it says this. What else is glory? He's eternal and immortal. So he could never lose his kingship. He can never be overthrown. He can never be removed. So you better honor that. Then it says, what is his glory? He says, and to his glory forever and ever. What's his glory? Well, His glory is he's a king of a government that has all the wealth, all the powers, and every citizen he wants in it. You know, one of the other attributes of a government is they can choose who their citizens are. We're fighting about it all the time with immigration. Hey, they're not part of us. They're not part of our citizens. You know that, see, when Scripture says that God chose you, he did. You can't be in the kingdom of God without him choosing you. You just responded to it and said, okay, where do I get the passport picture? And even that, Scripture says, was his doing. I have a good idea and you'll think it's good too. Okay, hey, that's a good idea. It's all God. And he's created you in this generation, on this colony, for a purpose to do something. For the king, as a member of his family, and as an ambassador to build the kingdom of God. So your Bible ought to be presented in such a way that you're an ambassador. And God, and the Holy Spirit's job is to give you that wisdom. Don't be beating people up with it. Nobody goes to any nation as an ambassador. Just look around the government and starts poking. Nobody goes into President Bush's... President Bush. Stuck in the 90s. Nobody goes into President Obama's office and starts poking him in the chest as an ambassador for somewhere. If they do, they don't last very long. But you're an ambassador from our king to this world. Think about the way you're going to present yourself. That's why we need to know what our king does. Because that is who we are being made into the image of, character-wise. So it's super important. You know the king and the king's ways. And don't be expecting people that aren't citizens of the kingdom to act like it. They're still in bondage to a rebel kingdom, whatever that looks like. They first have to be freed and brought into the kingdom. And then from there, if they're brought into the kingdom, they're babes in the kingdom. As I shared with you earlier, the supernatural creation, because it's been created, parallels the natural. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born into the kingdom of God as a child of God in the kingdom of God. Now you have to grow up into the ways of that kingdom, because all of us have grown up in the ways of the rebel kingdom, whatever that looks like. And we are surrounded by that rebel kingdom operating. That's why Jesus said you'll have problem. Hey, I'll tell you what. You go walking into the Middle East with your American type dress into that rebel held kingdom, you're going to get in trouble for that. Does that make sense? You need to understand that so that when it filters down to you, the first territory you have to take over, kingdom-wise, is your own. And then God will move you into the territory he wants you to impact as his ambassador in order to take more territory. It's one of the reasons we want to do more His Place churches out in communities that are struggling so we can take territory. That's why we do in these things. We go into the motels so we can take these people that are under the bondage of rebel prince, free them, and then bring them into the kingdom and change their life. We want to take territory over. God's kids weren't designed to be ambassadors to each other sitting in church on Sunday watching the most awesome show we can put on. That's called entertainment. And entertainment's cool in its place. But you got a purpose. You got to be about the king's business. Whatever that business is, and whatever business you're in, is king's business. Because like I said, a king owns everything. You don't own your business. You're simply a steward. I don't own this church. I literally don't own it, but I know I'm just a steward here till I'm done. And that's why when I die, there's a couple ways I'm going to go to Jesus. I'm going, one, as a member of his family, and two, Scripture says every knee will bow before him. I will bow before him as my Lord, is what you say to a king, my Lord. Or I will bow before him as a captive enemy under the king who is still Lord. So it's a big deal to understand the big picture. God is a king, and he's established a kingdom, and it was invaded by a rebel army. When he was ostracized out of the kingdom of the heavenlies, he was thrown into the kingdom of the natural, even though this rebel king has a spiritual body and not a natural human body. That's why he wants to possess people. He wants a body like us to rule this territory against the king. But he can't. And even if he possesses someone, he never gets ownership. Just like if a country invaded St. Martin, they may possess it, but it's not theirs, and the government that owns that country is going to come and get it. Does that make sense? The Old Testament tells us that the Messiah is coming. In fact, everything that has ever been made belongs to the king of this kingdom. In Colossians 1:16, we're told that, for in him, speaking of Jesus, all things were created. For in him. It was part of his power. Things in heaven, the invisible. Things on earth, the visible. Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities are all under him. All things have been created through him and for him. He will have them again. And one of the beauties is, as an heir of the king, I get a piece of that action. Whatever that looks like. Whatever that looks like. Moses said, the anointed one's coming. He said, someone like me is going to come. I delivered the Israelites. A greater deliverer than me is going to come from the bondage that those people were under. See, Israel is just a small picture of what God's doing in the big picture. That's why in John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, when Jesus came, he came to his own. He came to the group that should have known about him, should have been ready to receive this king. And it says they rejected him. But it also says in the next verse, to those who would receive him, he took them into his kingdom. But he said, the ones, the Holy Land, he came to the land that was he had promised Abraham. He said, this is the land that I will give you. This is the land where I will establish my kingdom on earth. Not only my kingdom, my kingdom rule. In fact, Scripture tells us that when he comes back, he will rule from there. There's always a place where a king rules, and it's usually known by location. When you think of Washington, D.C., what do you think of? Government, the president's house. When we think of any capital in the world, why do states have capitals? That's where the seat of government rules from. So when we speak of the Holy Land, we speak of the land that God designed, that this is mine, place of rulership over everything. And I'm coming back. Moses said he was coming back. David said he was coming back. Isaiah said he was coming back. Jeremiah said he's coming. Daniel said he's coming. Micah said he's coming. Joel said he was coming. Malachi said he's coming. Zechariah said he's coming. In fact, Zechariah says this, and we oftentimes say it during Easter time or during the crucifixion time, but he says this in 9. He says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Speaking of territory. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. Speaking of the sea. That's like saying, rejoice, Maryland. Rejoice, Washington, D.C. Your leader's coming. He says, rejoice, Zion, the land. Rejoice, Jerusalem, the city that I will rule from. Why? Because your king's coming. Your king is coming. But he comes gently and righteous. You're used to destruction and stealing and chaos. But your king's coming, and he will begin his rule. See, don't ever get caught up in the thing. Where's God? What's he doing? He's ruling. But he's ruling against a rebel kingdom. And you and I are ambassadors. We are not to shrink from the fight. We are to engage it. Kills me when Christians talk about the world. We need to be away from them. We got the king. If anybody ought to be brave, it should be us. We should be the bravest people around. But see, the enemy messes with us. And then we have our histories in bondage. And we, just like the Israelites. They weren't even a year into their freedom and they're going, hey, let's go back. We don't know where we're going out here. That's the way we are. Anytime we're facing something new, it's like, I don't know. Scripture says we're more than a conqueror. We were conquered, now we're more than a conqueror. So when we begin to read the Gospels, in Matthew, I think alone, in the book of Matthew, 35 different times he talks about the kingdom of God. So as we go through Mark, we'll be jumping across a few different Gospels because I just want to keep painting for you what he's doing. All those miracles and all that stuff Jesus did, they were all designed to prove who he was and to bless the people who were in bondage. I met a guy yesterday at this memorial service that he goes to a church around here and you know, he's talking about some supernatural experience because I was talking about, man, you know, yeah, it's sad. It is super sad to lose someone. There's no getting over that. I mean, it's devastating. It's traumatic because it's not the way it's supposed to be. But listen, they're just residing in the invisible right now. We're going to see. Well, first, we're probably going to go there unless the Lord comes back. But if he doesn't, we're going to go there and then we're coming back anyway and we're taking over. This is our colony. This is where you fit. That's why when we leave here, it's such a devastating thing. We were designed to fit on this colony. That's why as we study God's Word and we look at His Word, why we're studying our home country. Just like I said, even though St. Martin has 95% Africans, they study French. They study the French kings. They don't even know anymore about where they came from because they belong to something else. We belong to something far greater. We belong to a kingdom that will never end. Literally, will keep expanding. Scripture tells us God will be showing us His glory, His wealth, power, possessions, territory. That's His glory. Forever. Forever. And we won't even have to fight anymore. We'll just be exploring it. It'll be like, I think it'll be kind of like Disneyland with never-ending attractions. And every time you go on it, I could tell you basically Caribbean how it's going to go. It's a small world. That was the... Who made that ride up? It's like after the first 10 seconds, I get it. It's a small world after all, and all the dolls dancing. Who gives a... But in this kingdom, it's going to be incredible. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. I don't even know why. So, I guess we'll get into verse 1 for the last second. In Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, the beginning of the good news. It's begun. The king has come. All what the Old Testament was pointing to has begun. Now we're in the midst of the beginning to the end and whatever takes place in between. That's been debated by scholars forever, but the bottom line is he's coming again. He came as the servant to free his people, then he's going to come as a king to judge. See, and this is a beautiful thing about being a child of God. Because when you go to the king, even our government, when you go to the court of law, they don't go, well, yeah, they do, but it depends who you know. Well, in that kingdom, it really depends who you know. Because I go before the Lord. He's my king, but he's also my brother, my dad, my family. And so when we mess up, God first deals with us as his children. Just like you deal with your kids as your children. Even when they mess up big time, they're still your children. Oh, they might be up for a spanking. They might be up for some discipline, training, but they're always considered your kids. That's what separates us from those who are rebels against the kingdom. And when they come to God on judgment day, they are coming as rebels. You and I come as children. And God tells us he will reward us for whatever we've done as members of the kingdom here on the colony to be a blessing to others and expand the kingdom. That's why scripture tells us he gives us gifts. So all of our gifts of leadership and whatever gifts God gives you, he doesn't give them all equally, but he expects return on all of them. And you can return. I can't tell you how many people I pray for every Sunday and every time I pray for people that are so fearful to walk with God, thinking that they can't do it. And that's the beautiful thing, is that you can, because it's not in your power. Because, we can't get into this part. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Why is he the Son of God? He's the anointed one, Messiah. The king's anointed him. Son of God gives him the right of heirship to be the king on the planet. He is in the family of God. So when he steps on, he's the king. This is the colony he's the king over. You guys get that? He's king over a bunch of stuff, but he's king over this one. And he is going to take care of it. And as we read, we'll probably cover this next week. As you read the first couple verses, we have the last person saying he's coming, which is John the Baptist. He's coming, prepare the way, prepare the way. Repent. What did he say to him? John the Baptist shouted, you can put it up there, because they're not getting out of here early. I got to let you get out of here. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Simply that means he's crazy. He's not your normal dude. He's calling to prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Make it easy for the king to land. Just like if president's going flying on Air Force One and he's flying into a foreign country, what they want to do is they want to make the airline, the runway smooth. Well, he says, hey, everybody, I'm telling you what everybody's been saying, the king's coming. I'm telling you, he's coming right now. And they said, you know, even though John's ministry only lasted for about 2 years, they say about 1 million people probably came and got baptized. He said, wash off your sin. What sins are we talking about? Doesn't matter what sin. What really mattered was your rebelliousness. Wash off your rebellion against the king and come back to him, because he's coming. And then I'm washing you in water, but when he comes here, if we can get that next part up, when he comes here, he's going to give you and baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you need God in you to deal with the supernatural. You can't win a war against the supernatural with the natural. So I am going to, this king is going to enable you through God the Holy Spirit to wage war, to be an ambassador, to have power to change the way you do life. He will enable you to do all the things in the invisible that are just as real as the visible, but you have never been able to do. Can I get an amen? That is good stuff. That is good, good stuff. And in fact, once John baptizes Jesus comes out of the water. And what does his father say? This is my son, whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And then you know what happens immediately after that? Jesus goes to the desert. To why? Confront the enemy king. I have come to confront you. War is on, dude. War is on. And the enemy thinks he's going to operate a different manner. Jesus, the war was, he was going to die for his subjects. No king does that. I have not seen Obama board a fighter plane and go and saying, they did what to my people? They don't do that. Nobody in government does. I think it's a rule in war that you never kill the head guy. Even Hitler had to kill himself. It's like, why don't we just go over there and kill anybody that calls himself the boss? Then you don't worry about the people. Well, there's all kinds of reasons. Everybody wants money, power, you know, they all want that stuff. But the king we have, one of his titles is servant of man. He serves his people. He takes them into his family, and he's the king. I have a threefold great thing going on that I get to be part of, and so do you. So why don't we stand up before they send the kids down. Oh, God, help me. You guys getting all this? So when we read the Gospels and when you go home and you start reading some of the Gospels, get the big picture. And then look at yourself. Because see, you and I, we have little rebel kingdoms in us. There's still a war going. Oh, I belong to God, but there's a war still going on in me. And there might be somebody in here that's never even given themselves. They're still full on in the rebel kingdom. They didn't even know there was a King Jesus that was actually for them. So if you've never aligned yourself with this King, today's a good day. Because we don't know the day and time he's coming back. And you want to, oh yeah, I got my passport. Part of the kingdom. If you want that, I'm telling you. Is there anybody that needs that? Anybody that wants it? Okay. All right. So we'll, okay. Then we'll first do that. And then we'll pray a prayer for us in the rebel places in us where we still fight against God's kingship in it. And this is the beauty. See, God knows you're his kid. If you're his kid, you're his kid. So we just need to put down fighting Dad because he wants the best for us. He wants you to prosper in everything in your life. It's your own little rulership of whatever little knowledge you might think you have of some your little kingdom. It's not going to prove to be of any value to you. So let's repent of that rulership of that kingdom, whatever it is. It really boils down to rebellion. And then let's get out of here and have a great 4th. And we'll pray for all the barbecue that it won't clog nothing in the kingdom body we have. So, let's first pray for those that want to enter into the kingdom. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my King. And I repent, which means I turn away from my rebellion. And I ask you to accept me into your family. To make me a citizen of your kingdom. And then use my life as an ambassador in this colony to further expand your kingdom. Forgive me, and I give my life to you. I am your servant, and I am your subject, and I am your family member, and I thank you for that. And now, my King, give me supernatural Holy Spirit power to come against those rebel kingdoms that I still align myself with in my spirit and in my life, You know what they are. I need your power to break through them. And I thank you for that. Help me to remember to call on your supernatural power when I feel weak. And I thank you for victory. About the food this weekend. Are you not going to pray with me on that? Hey, God cares about that. I say sorry in advance. I don't even know how to pray about that. That's like praying knowing you're going to sin anyway. So, to each your own on that one with God. Bless you guys. Stay strong. Hey, read the gospel. Since we're going to be in Mark, you can read Mark. But you know what? Jump to any of the other gospels and start reading them and keep your eyes focused on his kingship. We'll stay on that one for a little bit. All right, God bless you guys. Have a great week.